It was a week of global interest rate drama. The Bank of Japan raised interest rates for the first time in 17 years, putting an end to the country's negative interest rate era. That's as the U.S. Fed froze its interest rates, hinting at 3 rate cuts within this year. Now, what does this mean to the global financial markets and, of course, the Korean economy? For some insights, we turn to Shin Se-dong, economics professor at Sungmyung Women's University. Good morning, Professor Shin.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. So I feel like we've done this for a few weeks now. I've got to ask you, how did you choose your background?
Well, I used to live in, you know, California for more than 10 years. So it's a familiar place, San Francisco.
Hey, we learned something new. I'm from the Bay Area, too. A pleasure.
Oh, okay, good.
All right, let's get started, Professor Shin. The BOJ opted for its first rate hike in nearly 2 decades, projecting that the price stability target of 2% would be achieved in a sustainable and stable manner. Can you maybe first elaborate on the background for this historic shift, a move?
Well, as you know, Japan has suffered for more than 30 years of deflation and extremely low growth. So that has been, you know, the last 3 decades for Japan. And in order to combat, you know, slow growth and deflation, Japanese government and central bank has lowered the rate twice, one in the late 1995 from 6% to 0%, and that ended in 2006. And after 2006, you know, economy seems to boom, and also the inflation is going too high, so they raised the rate. And the second wave has come, I think, early 2000, you know, half of the 2000, and especially, you know, the prime minister Abe, he started to lower the rate. That was a second wave, and second wave is pretty different from the previous one in the sense that the central bank lowered the rate to the negative rate, and no other central bank lowered, you know, their key interest rate to the negative area. So Japan was the first country who experienced, you know, negative rate, and that was 2016 September. And it's about 7 years since, you know, maintaining negative interest rate. And this time, Japan decided to raise it to the 0.1%. So the reason for that decision is, first, inflation has been coming up above 2%. And second thing is the minimum wage growth has been targeted at 4%. And for the last, you know, few years, minimum wage never grew faster than 4%. But last year, it went up to 5%. So the Bank of Japan decided that it's time to get away from the negative interest rate. Mm.
Professor Shin, even after last week's move, interest rates in Japan are still far lower than those in other major developed economies. But in a larger context, it seems to go against this trend where other developed economies are raising, interest rates. Japan is historically bringing it down. How do you gauge the potential impact of Japan's rate pivot on the global financial markets?
Yeah, you know, everybody expected that if the BOJ raise the key rate, we would expect the Japanese yen will appreciate, right?
Yes.
And quite contrary to that, Japanese yen depreciated from 148 to 151. So it was quite against expectation. That's one thing. And second thing is, if interest rate goes up in Japan, then everybody expected that flow of funds will move into Japan, which caused, first, Japanese appreciation, and second, you know, the diminished amount of end carry trade. But actually, you know, both of things never happened. Yen has depreciated, and end carry, investment outside of Japan has actually increased. The reason for that, I think, is still interest rate in Japan is way lower than other countries. So it's going to be beneficial for Japanese investors to invest not inside, but outside.
Mm-mm. Many Japanese investors, just for further context, have borrowed yen at low rates to buy, for example, higher yielding U.S. Treasury. That practice is commonly called carry trade. That was during the period of negative interest. Will things shift slightly? We'll still have to wait and see. It's only been a week.
Yeah, I think that depends on, you know, how BOJ will raise the rate further. Now it is a 0.1, and if BOJ raised to probably 0.5 to, you know, 0.5 or 1%, then there will be a significant change in exchange rate and also the end carry trade. But so far, you know, 0.1% interest rate is way below. In the United States, is 5.5%. So I think very negligible effect upon negligible effect of the rate hike from BOJ, I think.
Some analysts predict Japan's rate hike will bring positive effects to South Korea stock markets, as well as exports on the back of strong Japanese yen. What is your take on that analysis?
That crucially depends upon the yen rate. If the, Japanese yen rate. If the yen rate from, you know, 151 to 140 or 130, then that's going to have substantial effect. Positive, effect upon Korean trade of automobile electronic products. But so far, you know, actually the exchange rate of the yen has depreciated, you know, after the rate hike. So we could not expect that. We rather, you know, expect that, you know, the yen rate, the current yen rate movement will be deteriorating Korean trade as long as yen continues to depreciate.
As for the long-term effects, we'll just have to wait and see. And as you've said, how much rate hikes are we talking about in Japan? So we're still waiting on the BOJ's next decisions then, I suppose.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. The U.S. Fed, meanwhile, hinted at 3 possible rate cuts this year, despite key gauges of U.S. inflation, the CPI and the PPI both coming in hot in the month of February. How would the dovish stance affect the BOK, Bank of Korea's future interest rate settings?
I would rather say it is not dovish, it is hawkish.
Really?
In the sense. Because in the market, everybody expected that during this year, the Federal Reserve will lower the rate at least 5 times. At least 5 times. But now, you know, FOMC is very clear it's going to, you know, lower the rate 3 times. In that sense, it is hawkish. And the point is, U.S. economy is very hot now. You know, it is expected to be 2.1% growth this year, but the first quarter is going to be 2.5%. So extremely hot, and that is because of consumption and also very hot investment. So I think, you know, in the market and also the a few people in FOMC are talking about just one rate cut. So we have to see, you know, how hot the U.S. economy is and also how hot inflation will be during this year. I think there's a strong chance, very strong chance, that the FOMC decide not to cut the rate 3 times, but rather 2 or 1 time this year. That depends upon how hot U.S. economy and also how hot inflation.
And would that potentially affect, of course, Bank of Korea's decision to change its rates?
You know, Bank of Korea is, you know, expecting, you know, at least the 3 cuts. If in the FOMC cut 3 cuts, I think the Bank of Korea could lower the rate at least twice. But if the FOMC does not cut, you know, 3 times or 2 times or 1 times, there's no chance of Bank of Korea to lower there, because already the gap is 2%. Yeah. You know, 2 percentage points higher in the United States. It's going to be very difficult for Bank of Korea to lower in this kind of circumstances.
We can't widen the gap further. We can't afford to.
Right.
Another point to look out for, whether the U.S. Fed will revise its economic outlook for this year. As anticipated, it revised up the growth forecast from 1.4 and, as you've said, to 2.1%. What are the Fed's main reasons for the adjustment, and how do you interpret this?
Yeah. As I said, you know, consumer expenditure is so hot. And nobody exactly knows, you know, why U.S. consumption is so hot. And second thing is, from the last end, you know, last quarter of last year, you know, investment is going to grow very, very rapidly. Prior to that, investment was negative. But after, you know, the end of 2023, investment turned positive growth. So consumption is good, investment is good, export is doing fine. So I think, you know, this year U.S. growth rate will probably be 2.5% rather than, you know, 2.1%. So if that is so, I think we could not expect inflation go down below 2%. And if that is so, I think it's going to be very difficult to, you know, for FOMC to lower even, you know, at once. It's going to be very difficult. So we have to see how hot U.S. economy and how hot inflation down the road.
Professor Shane, we'll revisit this interview after our second quarter of this year and see if any of the forecasts line up. Thank you very much for your insights. We'll speak to you again next week.
You're welcome.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.